Acts chapter 14. Brother Harmon, did you leave your glasses up here?
Yeah.
You left them up here on purpose, right?
For the
choir. Oh, okay. By the way, on that note, that's a for sure thing for tonight. No choir. No choir practice for tonight. All right? Just let folks get better and get well again. We'll continue on next Sunday. Acts chapter 14. We're in our third sermon, our third series of this part of the third lesson of this part of the series, talking about a church that changes the world. And we're looking at the verse, you know, you don't have to turn there, keep your place there where I told you in Acts chapter 14. But our reference goes back to chapter 17, verse 6, where it talks about how those Christians that were there had literally turned their world upside down. And that was the testimony given by the lost that were accusing them, how they were turning their world upside down. Christians should make a difference in the world they live in. As a result, this church, Maranatha Baptist Church, as well as other churches, should make a difference in the areas they are in. Okay? And that's what we're looking at here. Last week, it was such a blessing to see. You know, it's encouraging to a pastor when you see evidence that the message that God lays on your heart was taken to heart in the people that you preach to. Last week, we had talked about the gospel, the message that we have. And at the end of the day, that Sunday morning, by the time everybody had left, the table back there with the John and Romans on it was empty. Amen. Now, I hope it wasn't just one person took them all. Amen. And it was empty. And I know for a fact, I check it every week to make sure there's Romans on there. I know it was full. So that was a blessing. Somebody took the challenge, or several people took the challenge, and they shared the gospel this week. Amen. Keep doing it. Okay? I think it was, I saw her come in, Marilyn. She asked for several of the Romans Wednesday night, or Friday night, to go pass out. And such. What a blessing. Pass out the gospel. That's the message that we have. Today, we're going to have two parts of this sermon, and hopefully we'll get through it all today. You know how I've learned not to promise that. Amen? But, you know, we're going to be, it's a challenge to the church itself within the church. Within the church. Okay? We're going to look at the church's challenge. You know, anytime you get a task to do, whether it's at work or, you know, even as a child, you were assigned a task to do in the house, there's always a challenge. You know, at work, you know, when you get a promotion, okay, a lot of times that's good because that means what?
More money.
More money, right? An increase in the pay. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know? But also, along with a promotion comes what? More responsibility. There's always a challenge to it. Okay? Well, there's a challenge for the church. Okay? We're to make an impact on our world through the power of Christ. These disciples that were talked about here in Acts, everywhere they went, they made an impact. You could tell they were there. Sometimes it was a good impact where everything was going fine. Thousands were being saved, and literally, thousands were being saved at a time. But then sometimes they would go into a city and they wouldn't have them. They'd beat them. They'd stone them. They'd throw them into prison. There was always a challenge. Looking, you know, as we're not going to read it all right now, but eventually throughout this sermon here, we're going to be looking through in chapter 14 in the first 23 verses. That's a lot of verses. We'll read it as we go, as we get to them. But throughout this text, we're going to see a lot of anger in this text. Anger of the people. Some great displeasure. You know, every city that Paul went to, he reached people for Christ. Amen? That's a good thing. That's the exciting thing. It's exciting to see folks sitting out here. Some of y'all, I can remember when you got saved. What a blessing. Through the ministry of Maranatha Baptist Church. But also, anytime you live for Christ, you're going to make enemies. We don't want to, do we? That's not our goal. But if you stand up for God's word, and if you witness in the name of Christ like you should, unfortunately, it's going to happen. You're going to make enemies. More and more in this world that we live in today. You see, when Paul would go from these cities, from city to city, many were happy to see him because they also believed in Christ. But then again, there were also others that were happy with their religion, with their worship. They had no use for a man that was going to come in and turn their world upside down and tell them everything that they had been following and worshiping was wrong. Paul made a lot of enemies as well as the other apostles. When people came to a saving knowledge of Christ, sometimes those would abandon that old form of religion and give it up for a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was the good part. That was the good side. That was the part we like to look at and we like to focus on. But in many cases also, it would make people mad. There were a lot of people that made money off of these false gods. There was one man that made money off of a lady that was possessed and could tell the future and different things like that. And when they cast the demon out of her, that man lost all that money he was making off of. They made some enemies. Our text this morning that we're going to be looking at throughout this chapter, it deals with various challenges that specifically Paul and Barnabas faced on their first missionary journey. Okay? Now, how many missionary journeys did Paul make? Three. And then also one to Rome. Okay? So this was his first one. He was with Barnabas. And as we look at this chapter, I need you to understand. Now, how many of y'all have been thrown into prison for what you believe about Jesus Christ? Anybody here? Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, we live in a free country where we can preach and learn about Christ. We can meet here this morning. Can't be said all over the world. Pray we keep those freedoms. Amen? But as we look at this, we're going to see some challenges that we have today. Maybe not to the extent that they had it, of being thrown in prison or being stoned. I've had rocks thrown at me, but it was from my sister. It wasn't because I was preaching the gospel. You know, these people that we look at here this morning in this chapter and the circumstances were different than what we deal with today. But that doesn't mean we're not challenged in some of the same ways Paul and Barnabas are challenged. If we're committed, now think about this, follow me here. If we're committed to making a difference in this world today, then you're going to encounter some challenges that are going to test you. They're going to try your faith. Even as a missionary, as a pastor, there's been times, and Brother Harmon, probably you too, you can probably attest to this. There's been times where my faith has been challenged. Is this really worth it? Is this really what it's all about? I remember in Bible college, I mean, these are guys that were called to preach, called to be missionaries, called to be pastors, called to be Christian school teachers. And within a year, they drop out and they totally give up everything they've ever believed about the Bible. They fell by the wayside.
They gave in because they were challenged and couldn't handle it. If we're committed to doing this, folks, if we're committed to taking a stand for God, to making a difference in the world, we need to be warned. And God gives us plenty of warning and also plenty of help. Amen? But you need to be warned that challenges will come. And we're going to be looking at that here this morning. We can expect these obstacles. Let's look at the challenges of the church this morning. The first challenge is in verse 1 through 7. Let's read verse 1 through 7. Chapter 14 of Acts, verse 1 through 7. It says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Amen. That's the good side, amen? But look what it says. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city," look what it says here, "was divided. And part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles, and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel." You know, the first challenge we're looking at here is the challenge of division. Anytime you take a stand for God and take a stand for His Word, there's going to be division. There will be division. We see here a presence of division. Specifically there in verse 2 and verse 4 there, you know, "The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." And then in the first part of verse 4, look what it came to. "But the multitude of the city was" what? "Divided." Divided. Paul had not gone here to create division. That was not his ultimate goal, okay? To create division. But it happened. That division happened. It came. The Jews who refuted the teaching of Christ stirred up the Gentiles, creating doubt, and as a result, creating division among them. Paul had only been, he had just gotten there. And within a short time, the whole city, it says, was divided. One of the greatest challenges, and the reason why we start with this point here this morning, one of the greatest challenges that we face as a church today, and churches around the world, is division.
Right.
And I don't mean us necessarily divided with those who do not believe. Even within, like here, within the same city, it was divided. Within a church, there's a challenge of division. Friday night. One of the goals of Friday night was just to come and enjoy some fellowship. Fellowship. I like fellowship. I enjoy it. I mean, we have folks here, Leslie and her family. They live way out on the other side of Humacao. How many miles is it from here today? No idea. Put her on the spot. I think she probably, well, outside of Urban. But he's just visiting here. I think y'all are probably the furthest ones from the church. They're out there all by themselves. We have some folks from Luquillo. You know, Kathy and Josefina and her family. Shannon and Jose. Yeah, we have some folks out in Luquillo. There's a lot of us that live here in Fajardo. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even leave you out. The Mowbrays, too. But there's a lot of us, and I can walk to most to a lot of y'all's houses because you live right here. It's good, though, when we can all get together from Humacao, from Luquillo, from Rio Grande, from Naguabo, from wherever it is, and have some fellowship. Amen. That was fun Friday night. I enjoyed it. Fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord that believe what I believe, you know, think the way I think. I don't know if that's good for you or good for me. No, but we can come together and just have a good time together. Cleans up. I didn't have to worry about Friday night hearing a bunch of bad language. Or seeing something doing they shouldn't be doing. I didn't have to come here Friday night and worry about Brother Harmon getting drunk. Amen to that, right? We had good fellowship. We enjoy fellowship because there's a sense of unity in fellowship. But does that mean that division couldn't happen among us? No. We divided up into teams Friday night. And I know it's a silly example, but all of a sudden, we weren't unified. We had the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Canaanites, the scribes, the Philistines. We divided up into different teams, and all of a sudden, no, that's not the right answer. You can't give that to them. You know, they were fighting over points. You know? Who's going to win? And I know that's just a silly, that was all in good fun and all. But there's times, even in a church, where we can get divided. Not in good fun, not in good relationship. We've dealt with it in the past. How easy is it to let the littlest thing tear a friendship apart? Even among Christians. I would like to say that if you did something to insult me, I would be able to forgive you. But you know what? I'm human. Brother Harmon could say something about me behind my back. No, he hasn't. Don't get the wrong idea, as far as I know. Amen. No. But he can say something behind my back, and Jessica comes up and says, hey, Pastor, Brother Harmon's going behind your back and saying this. Did you know that? And I can confront Brother Harmon, and Brother Harmon can say, oh, I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. And he can be all honest and true in it. Ask forgiveness, and I can say, I forgive you. But it would be hard, as a human, you're with me on this, I know, it would be hard to always kind of wonder now. It'd probably take a while for that friendship to develop back together again because of division that comes. Sometimes friendships never heal, even among Christians, because of division. Division causes many problems within a church. Now, I'm not preaching this morning because I know of any divisions going on right now. I'm not aware of any. I pray there's not. But I know they can exist. I've seen them. Why do churches split? Because of division. Why do people leave church many times and never come back? Because of division. If we're going to be effective here in Salem, Fajardo, and the regions beyond, for the cause of Christ, we've got to be careful here, folks. And watch out for division. You know, in Mark chapter 3, it talks about it. It says, and if a house be divided against itself, the house cannot stand. If Maranatha is divided within itself, how are we ever going to be effective in reaching the lost around us? How can we stand as a church? We need to be unified. I encourage people all the time. If you got a problem with something that was preached,
don't go to so-and-so or so-and-so or to somebody out there. You know what they taught us at that church this past week? Come to me.
Amen.
Talk to me about it.
Right.
See if we can resolve it. And you know what? Even if we can't come to an agreement for the cause of Christ, let it go.
Amen.
And move on.
Right.
I try to always preach what the Bible says, not what my opinion is. But there's going to be times where I'll stick something in there. I think this, or I think that. And it's based on what I believe from the Bible. Maybe you look at it differently. Discuss it with us. If we can't come to an agreement, let's move on for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Brother Harmon and I don't even see eye to eye on every single little thing. What? No. We've had different opinions, and you know what? Well, I respect him for what he thinks, even though I don't agree with him. But if we let it cause division between us, it can destroy the church. And the same goes with any of us. Watch out for division within the church. It can come. But as soon as you start seeing yourself being divided between another friend or another group or within, we need to take care of that. Ask the Lord to give us wisdom in it. There was a point of division. I want us to look at this. The point of division. We saw that there was the presence of division there in that city. The multitude of the city was divided, it says. But look specifically in verse 1. Read that again. It says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." We looked at this already, how this was a normal practice. They'd go to the synagogue, the scriptures would be read. And what would they ask? If anybody had something they wanted to say about this, so let them speak. We looked at that already. Paul took advantage of it once again. He preached the gospel.
Amen.
And it had an effect. It should, amen? I would hate to think that y'all came here this morning and you're hearing the gospel being preached, you're hearing the word of God being preached, and you leave here and it have no effect on you. That's not our goal here this morning. I pray it works in your heart somehow, in some way. It worked in the hearts of the people there. People were saved. They came to know the Lord. They believed, it says. This was the point of division among this people. Some believed, and others did not. Now we know, we had already looked at this. The Messiah had been sent. The Jews had rejected their Messiah. This was the gospel that Paul preached, was Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And it caused division. You see, and it talks about the Jews here specifically. But the Jews were not the only ones who still believed in a religious order of practice, keeping the law. How many religions today believe in nothing more than a religious order of practice? Keeping the rules. Going by the different steps. This divided them. This was the dividing point. He was leading these people away from an organized religion to the truth. Specifically, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. Often division comes about from petty differences. How many times have you, husbands, have we argued with our wives over the littlest, most insignificant thing? I see a lot of smiles and looking at each other. Yep.
Callie and I too.
Sometimes we'll get in a fight over something. We're like, how did this start? We can't even remember what happened. You know, what are we arguing over here? A color. Or whether or not something should be placed this way or this way. You know, or yeah, something like that. And you think about it. In the church, there's a lot of things we can discuss about the Bible and have differences of opinions on about, you know, different things. You know, did Adam have a belly button? Does it really matter in light of eternity if Adam had a belly button? And I know that's a silly example. But there's some things that we argue about among ourselves so much that it keeps us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. It has no lasting effect on eternity. Sometimes what we're divided over. Many churches have splits. I've heard of churches having splits over what color the curtain should be. You've heard of examples and probably like that. Hello? Trivial issues. But you know, that's how the devil works. If he can keep us fighting over the little things like that, he has nothing to worry about us taking the gospel out to the world. We need to guard against allowing matters, especially when it comes to personal opinion and creating division between us. There's a greater challenge in that, folks. There's a greater challenge. Getting the gospel out to the world. If Raphael and I don't see eye to eye on something, we need to just get over it and keep our eyes focused on what God's told us to do. Get the gospel out. To be a witness. To be a testimony. Unfortunately, we're living in a day and an age when many have compromised the truth for the approval and acceptance of man. How often, I mean, you look at how far they're going today away from God, and we're silent. Oh, we don't agree with it. You know, they had, I saw an article where, I think it was California, actually proposed a bill. Now listen to this. Actually proposed a bill allowing abortion up to 4 years of age. Say, what? And that's the faces I'm seeing right now. That was my face this morning when I read that. How are they even thinking about that? You know what that shows? That shows how far the division is getting. And we need to take a stand. How did it even get that far? That just sounds so far out there, it shouldn't even be thought of. But it is. Because little by little, we're compromising. And losing our ground from the Bible. We're giving it up. Many have given in to modern pressures of society and abandoned what the Bible has to say. We can't do that, folks. I know, and I try to with the most loving heart I can. The standard that I have, that I see in the Bible as your pastor, I've had a lot of folks come up, Pastor, why do we do it that way? Where in the Bible does it say that I have to do this? A big issue? Where does it say I have to dress this way? Or that I have to go to church? Or that I'm supposed to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And I'll tell you. But I can't force you to believe that way. Slowly but surely, we're giving up ground. We're entering a time, even here in America, in Puerto Rico, you understand what I'm saying? Where the Bible, specifically the gospel, creates contention.
It creates division. Wouldn't you agree with me? If we're committed to stand on the Word of God as the truth, preaching Jesus as the only means of salvation, confronting behavior like what we just talked about there, it sounded so ridiculous, but it's being proposed. But confronting behavior that is contrary to the Word of God, let me tell you something, we can look for division. We're going to cause division. Society today, and it's a word that is so abused, but society today demands tolerance. How much have you heard that word today? Tolerance. Even if tolerance demands rejecting God's word. That's what society demands today. Now don't get me wrong. We take a stand on what the Bible says. And God help me. I'm going to call sin what it is. Amen? Would we agree with that? Okay? But that doesn't mean, and I'll just use a simple example. Homosexuality. Society today says we're to be tolerant. Because I call it out as sin, does not mean I don't love that person. I don't love their sin. And I don't have to accept their sin. And I will not be tolerant of their sin.
Right. Amen.
But I still have a responsibility to love them. To be a witness to them. To teach them what the Bible says. I can agree with that kind of tolerance. But not the kind of tolerance that says we need to abandon what God says and accept what the world says. That's where the dividing line is. Now, along with this division, here's where our challenge is in a big way. Look at verse 3 again. It says, long time. Look what it says. What's the very first word? Long what? Time. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. They spoke of the Lord, they witnessed, they testified, they preached for a long time. Patience is required in division. You know, division grew stronger each day as they preached. These men being forced to choose sides. But Paul was never deterred. Even in the midst of this huge opposition that was mounting up, Paul continued to preach without compromise. He understood that not everybody was agreeing with what he was saying. He could obviously see it with his own eyeballs. Division was happening. He had already been to who knows how many cities where they rejected it. He had been stoned. He had been thrown in prison. He had been persecuted. But he didn't change. He refused to abandon the message that God had given him. Wouldn't it be so easy this morning? How many of y'all are praying for the church to grow? Amen. Keep praying. It's growing. Amen. God's answering our prayers the right way. And I say that for a reason. It'd be so easy this morning to just give in. Start doing what everybody else is doing. Bring this up here on stage. Bring that up here on stage. And just start... Okay, let's water down the preaching a little bit so it's not so offensive. So it agrees with everybody. And we could be running in the thousands. But at what cost? At what cost, folks? Paul stuck to his guns, you can say. He kept preaching the gospel of Christ the way God had commanded him to preach it. And yes, there were those that did not agree. And it caused division, but he was patient. He allowed God to keep working. As long as God wanted to, he didn't budge. This world today expects us to buckle, folks. They expect us to give in. The enemy seeks to gain entrance. Even right here this morning, the devil's fighting. I almost want to hit this as hard as I can right now. I know we've had a long week. Even right now, it seems like on Sunday mornings, the devil tells you, okay, church is starting. Don't those eyelids get awful heavy? I hope it's not because it's boring preaching. But it does. It seems like Sunday morning, everybody's at the beginning of service, you know, we're all singing and sit down after the offering. It's like it's an automatic switch. It just kicks in, doesn't it? All the sleep you missed this week, all of a sudden, boom, it hits you. Or, you know, we got up before the service, and that's the first time we've actually announced it. My home church started doing that, and I like the idea of it. How many times are we trying to, and I'm not pointing at anybody, my own cell phone has gone off before, get to a really important part of the message, or even during the invitation, all of a sudden, something starts going off. How many different ways does the devil try and fight? He wants us to give in, folks. He's looking for any way he can to get into our church and cause us to compromise, cause us to give up, to cause division. We must remain committed to the cause of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That'll wake you up. Amen. Remain committed. Don't give in. Next point in my notes here says that we cannot allow the bark of the enemy to create fear in our hearts. How many of y'all have seen my dog before? Sherman. Sherman, my horse. Sherman stands up to about right here on me. He's a great Dane. How many of y'all have pet Sherman? Okay. How many of y'all were nervous before you pet Sherman? Sometimes I'm still nervous around him. We take him out to Carrabba's every now and then. And at first people are like, oh, you know, they're all kinds of expressions they give, and they're real nervous about it. But once they see he's not going to bite, man, they're all petting him. But every now and then they'll hear him bark. And all of a sudden it's like all that fear comes right back again. They start backing off. You know, he'll see another dog or something running across the field. Vroom! I mean, they don't have a little chihuahua yet. I mean, he shakes the house when he barks. He's got a deep bark. It puts fear in their hearts. That's why we keep him out on the porch when we're not home. He doesn't have to bite him. He probably wouldn't bite him. He's a great guard dog. He's a horrible attack dog. But his bark puts fear in their hearts. That's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. If he can get this world to bark loud enough at us, it'll put fear in our hearts and we'll shut up. We won't do anything. We need to remain committed to the cause of Christ. Our cause is greater, folks. The cause is too great to abandon. The cause of taking the gospel out to the world. It's too great for us to abandon because some people say, that's not tolerant. You shouldn't talk that way. That's offensive. I'd rather offend somebody and tell them the truth of the gospel than for me just to keep quiet and never tell them that, listen, there's consequences for what they decide about Christ.
The consequences are too great. How many of y'all with kids, where from the moment they started growing up, you taught them not to steal? Oh, well, I don't want to offend them. Okay, don't teach your kids how to steal. How not to steal, I should say. You can tell what I teach my kids. No, I'm just kidding. How not to steal. Somebody else will later on. The hard way. When they pay the consequences for it. We need to tell them about Christ now. Sure, they might get offended. But some will believe. They'll accept Christ as their Savior. Time's almost gone away from us already. Wait a second. Didn't we go back an hour? So really it's only 11 o'clock, right? Not here, right? One more point and we'll finish for today. There's also a problem with division. Look in verse 5 and 6 again. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, to the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. You know, there was a problem here with the division. It talks about it there. The division eventually became so strong, the opposition desired to kill them, to stone them. Usually when you stone somebody, they died. Okay? That was their desire. They were committed to putting an end to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Nothing has changed. The devil is still committed to putting an end to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, we live in a free country where we can still preach the gospel. Amen? We have freedom to do so. But you know as well as I do, those freedoms are being attacked. They're disappearing. The devil's still committed to putting an end to it. Realizing the danger that they were in, Paul and Barnabas fled to Iconium, to the surrounding region. This division did not end Paul's ministry. He didn't give up there. But it had an effect, or it had affected the believers in Iconium. You see, the man of God, let me just read this here real quickly. The man of God had been forced to flee the church. I'm sorry, had been forced to flee, and the church suffered because of it. That's usually the case. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of cases where a pastor took a stand for what the Word of God says. And the church said, no, that's not what we want. And got rid of that pastor. And brought in a new pastor that gave them what they wanted to hear. And today it's a dead church. They're not doing anything for the Lord today. The church, think about this, those who genuinely desire to serve the Lord are usually the ones to suffer when division comes to a breaking point. And unfortunately, it's the church that gets the negative testimony of it. We need to be so careful this morning, folks, that we don't allow division in this church. I know we all have our own opinions on different things. I can probably ask one question about a standard or a moral. Kenny, did you just make a count?
Yeah.
How many we have?
46.
46, amen. Praise the Lord. I can probably ask that question now. I'm sure even little Connor and Clark, AJ,
and Esau and, you know, Isaiah, all these little kids, they would even have their own opinions on things. My kids, when they play together, they play pretty good for a brother and sister. I'll have to give them that. But you know what? Sometimes they fight. Why do they fight? Because they have their own opinions on things. Why do we fight? Because we have our own opinions most of the time on things. I can ask a question about a moral here this morning. 46, I'd probably get 46 different opinions. In some way, they'd be different. Little details. But we cannot allow those differences to cause division in this church. What is our cause as a church? To honor and glorify God and get the gospel out to the world. That's our cause. Let's focus on that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's make a difference in the society around us. Don't compromise, folks. Don't let the world influence you, saying, your church does that, but, you know, is that really necessary? Stand up, have some backbone, and say, yes, it is necessary, because this is what God's Word says.
Amen.
And this is where Maranatha Baptist Church stands.
Right.
And stand up for it. I'm not just saying back up the church. I'm saying back up what God is. God doesn't need us to back Him up anyways. But stand for it. You are a testimony of the Lord. Stand up for it. We'll never make a difference for Jesus Christ when division is present. Now, I don't know why God laid this today to preach this message. I know God wanted this message preached. He has reasons for it. But maybe there's somebody here this morning. You've been upset, or you were offended in somehow, some way, and the devil's just having a heyday with it. Just get rid of it. Tell the devil to get out. To get out of your life. Get out of your mind. Get out of your heart. Quit causing division in your mind and in your heart. And be reminded that we're all in the same cause, folks, for Christ.
Amen.
Let's be busy about that. Let all the petty things go. Me and Brother Medina, how many times have we fought over how to do different things here? I don't mean over doctrine or something, but cutting grass. We'll stand out there and fight in which direction the grass should be cut. Silly things like that. But somehow or some way, we always come to an agreement. Or we'll agree to disagree. The other day, he was cutting the grass and blowing the grass out into the gravel. I had the blower, and I was coming behind him, blowing the grass back out into the yard. He's yelling at me, why are you putting it back in the yard? I'm trying to get it out of the yard. Why are you putting it in the gravel? I'm trying to get it out of the ground. We're just arguing. You think about it. Silly thing. But you know what's silly? Sometimes the devil can use the stupidest little things to divide a church. And as long as he can keep us quarreling among ourselves, we're never going to do anything for the Lord. And he loves it. The devil loves it. He eats it up. Don't let those kind of things ruin you, folks. God's blessed us with a wonderful church.
Amen.
Let's protect it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now, all heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, we'll have a song of invitation. Let me ask you folks first. All heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking. This is a private time between you and God. We mentioned how we're all in the same cause for Christ, to get the gospel out. Let me ask you first of all this morning. Maybe you're sitting there and wondering, what is this cause? What is the gospel? You know, the Bible is very clear in that the gospel is the fact that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. And today He's up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ to get you to heaven? That's the cause that's worth fighting for. That's what we've been talking about this morning. My friend, do you know for sure this morning, if God forbid, but if something should happen, that you would go to heaven this morning? The gospel is the answer to that question. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Let me encourage you during the invitation. If you don't know for sure, if you can't answer that question, where would I go when I die? Let me encourage you to come forward and we can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe somehow, like I mentioned, I don't know why God led this message to be preached this morning. But I know it was His will to preach it. Maybe there's some division. Maybe I can't see it. I don't know anything about it. But you know there's division in your heart over something. Maybe there's something you need to just let it go. Get it right with God. Use more patience. Just ask God to take care of it, take it out of your life so that you can move on living and serving the Lord. And so that the church can move on together for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You'll bless us this morning. Bless this invitation, Lord. I pray that You're working in hearts.